All right, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we have victory through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, every day we have victory because Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life for us. And every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has victory, not just over death, but, Lord, the fact that we have victory over the things in this life, things that we'll face, things that will happen in this world. We have victory because of Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear. But, Father, we know who holds the world in the palm of his hand, and that is you. But Father, we ask that you would, though, guide us through the scriptures this morning. But Father, guide us through, Lord, just living a victorious life and living victoriously through Jesus Christ. But Father, open up the minds and the hearts of the children in junior church just like you did in Sunday school. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts that are seated in this sanctuary, Father. Speak to our hearts, draw us unto you, and I pray, Father, that you would teach us what we need to learn, remind us of what we need to remember, and Father, guide us according to truth because your word is truth, and we thank you for it. Father, we ask that you would glorify yourself, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to us about living victoriously through Jesus Christ. And as the Bible tells us here, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith is very important. And over the past several Sundays, I believe I've been talking about our faith and in various ways. And our faith is very important because the devil will continue to fight against our faith. He will continue to try to get God's people to become afraid of what's happening in this world. But when we read the Bible, God tells us through his word that these things shall come to pass. Jesus even told his disciples that when you hear rumors of wars and you see wars and you see things happening, Jesus even told his disciples that even the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, yet we have victory through Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear, but we got to be careful that we stay close to the Lord so that we're not led astray, so that we're not deceived. The Bible even tells us that we are to try the spirits to see if they are of God, because, again, anyone who does not proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that was buried and crucified, buried and risen again, they're none of his. We're even told in Scripture that he that loveth, obviously, is begotten of the Lord. In fact, let's see here. It's in John. If you would, in 1 John chapter 5, go down, if you would, to verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The fact is that you and I, because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and anyone else who has, they have the the Holy Spirit in them, they have the confidence that they are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit in us, in the born-again believer, helps us to keep a right focus, help us to keep our focus on the Lord, and helps to keep our hearts excited about the things of the Lord. And at times, the Holy Spirit will even have to point us back to the Lord and say, look unto the author and finisher of your faith. This morning, we have victory because of Jesus Christ, and we want to continue living victoriously through this life through Jesus Christ. We want to continue believing on the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what happens, no matter what goes on. We want to continue believing that we are on the winning side. And like I've said, things will get worse before they get better, but we have something better to look forward to, and that is the return of Christ. But what's going to help us right now to continue living the life that God's given us? What's going to help us right now to even go through this next week we're about to go into? What is it that will help us right now to look back on the past week and say, only by the grace of God and His love, I came through that week? And that is being reminded that we have victory in Jesus Christ. I want to remind us this morning that we can expect victory. You as a child of God can expect victory in your life because you are a child of God. I want you to look with me at verse number 1, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Again, listen to those words closely because you are a child of God. Never forget that. And you might think, well, Pastor, I haven't forgotten that. But there's days where we're so focused on what's happening in our life that we are focusing on the fact that, you know what, we are the children of God and I can take my cares unto him and I can cast my cares upon him for he careth for me. But we can expect victory in our life because we are the children of God. Again, he said in verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, you believe in God? Believe in me also. That was in John 14. He didn't want his disciples to be afraid of what was happening in their life. He didn't want them to be afraid of the fact that Jesus kept saying that he was going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men, and he would be crucified, and he would be buried, and he would raise 3 days later. But he had to comfort the hearts of his disciples. And he told them, you believe in God? Believe also in me. There are many people that believe in God, but they do not believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're not born-again believers. They're not the children of God, because it's not enough to know there's a God that created all things. You have to know his son, Jesus Christ, and you have to put your faith and trust in him. So you and I, we are the children of God, and we overcome this world because we are the children of God. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I want you to look at verses 3, 6, and 7 as Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a religious ruler who was being drawn to Christ. He was being drawn to Christ so much that he made it a point one night to go where Jesus was, to come to the place, come to the house that Jesus was at, knock on the door, be invited in by Jesus, and to be able to hear the words that Jesus spoke to him. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 6 and 7, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Everybody has a first birth. Everyone has a first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Not everybody has a second birth, being born again by the Spirit of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. All right? It's not good enough that somebody is born the first time. Born the first time. Remember, Nicodemus even said, how can this be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus kind of had to explain things to him, all right? But again, to be a child of God is to experience the second birth, which is putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God coming into our life. So being a child of God. And it's important. It's important that we're reminded of this, because if you are a child of God, you know you've been born again. You know you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come into your life. You know you have a place in heaven. Then guess what? That gives you victory over this world. It gives you victory over this world, you might think. And you might already have some thoughts come to your mind going, yeah, but what about this and this and this I didn't get victory over? What about this, this, and this that happened in my life? We'll get to that in a minute. But right now, let's remind ourselves we are the children of God. And because we are the children of God, we can expect victories in our life. Being a child of God, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll try not to talk too fast, but I do want to get through all this morning. I want us to see, because again, I'm just reminded that we are so much closer to the return of Christ, and it excites me, but at the same time, it should cause us to be alarmed that, you know what, time is running out. Time is running out. And there are those that we're praying for their salvation. There are those that we're talking to about their salvation. But also, I want to be ready. I want to make sure I'm ready to meet my Lord and Savior face to face. And again, what's going to help us in the last days to be able to stand upon the promises of God's word? Now listen, when you read the book of Revelation, you know you're not going through those 7 years of what's called the Great Tribulation. You know that you're not going to live through the time of the Antichrist. You read Scripture, it plainly shows us that the church, the body of believers, will be raptured out before the Antichrist is revealed. Now, it doesn't mean some things are going to happen, things are going to come into place and into play leading up to that, all right, leading up to the Antichrist being revealed, but we know we're not going to experience the wrath of God. We know we're not going to experience even the wrath of the Antichrist that he's going to do in those latter 3.5 years, because first he brings his false peace, and then he breaks the covenant with Israel 3.5 years later, and then he wrecks havoc. But again, God pours out his judgment, okay? But listen, there are things that can happen in this world right now that can, if God's people are not careful, cause them or us to lose hope and to lose faith and to kind of walk away from the things of God and stop believing that God can give us victory. Again, when you read in Scripture, some of the accounts I love in Scripture that just prove that God's in control when God's people are under oppression and under the rule of this world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel. Esther. I mean, people that were living in captivity, yet God still protected them. Sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not going to get political, but I mean, it just, you know, in some ways, you know, in 2020, we were living under, oppression, because there's certain items you couldn't get from the store and things that you wanted. It seems like, you know, government's just trying to dictate your life, all right? There are just different things in life that can cause us to think, what is God doing? Why is God allowing this? But remember, as the children of God, we have victory through Jesus Christ. And we need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I have a positive attitude? How can I live victoriously in the life that I am living? Number one, being reminded that you are the children of God. and you have something far better than this world has to offer. If you're there in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 9 and 10. This speaking about Abraham. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You and I have something far better on the other side, I'll say, of heaven than we do on this side. We have something far better. There's a place that's been prepared for us that's more beautiful than we've ever seen. A place that, as Jesus said, rust does not corrupt it, moth doesn't corrupt it, thieves can't break through and steal. All right? The things of this world should not allure us away from the promises of God and away from the relationship of God. It's very important. I mean, as you get older, you realize, because as I'm getting older, I realize, you know what, the things of this world, though there are some nice things that you could have and some things you think you want, as you get older, you realize, you know what, it doesn't matter if I have those things or not. But as a young person, you think, you know what, I need that. If I have that, it'll make me happy. If I have that, it'll help me to feel more accepted in this world. We're not to feel accepted in this world. We are to feel accepted in the family of God because we're the children of God. Our home is not here. Abraham sojourned in the promised land that he never got. Now, one day, again, according to Scripture, God's going to give his people that land. All right? He's going to give them the land, give him the borders that he describes in Scripture that he's going to give to them. But I want us just to be reminded by what it says in Hebrews 11. We have something far better waiting for us than we could ever gain in this world. But we do need to guard ourselves. As the children of God, we need to guard ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims," because we're just passing through, "this world is not our home, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Again, this world wants our attention. This world wants our young people. That's why it's vital that we pray for our young people and pray for one another, because the world wants the young people. There are so many young people today that do not believe there is a God. And let me even back up. There are young people who have grown up in churches who do not believe there's a God. How is that possible? Well, when you go back to the book of Joshua and you read in Joshua's life, Joshua who led the children of Israel, Joshua who believed God and God used him, when you get to the end of the book of Joshua, as Joshua's about to pass off the scene and does pass off the scene, it says the next generation knew not God. How is that possible? How does the next generation not know of the power of God? Did not they see the power of God in the lives of his people as Joshua led them? Various reasons. It could be maybe it was not taught at home, or it was, but yet, if you know it here, that's not good enough. It has to be in the heart. It has to be in the heart. I can testify as myself, I went to church as a little boy. But when I became a teenager, I knew things, but I did not have it in my heart. And it wasn't until later, by the grace of God, that God kept drawing me unto him, and God used somebody in my life to help me to see that I did not have it in my heart. All right? But we have to guard our heart. We have to guard ourselves. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." In John chapter 1, look at John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Now again, we are the children of God. We can expect victory in our lives because Jesus even said that we could, but we have to guard ourselves. We have to have the right mindset that, you know what? the things this world has to offer is not the best. And I want to make sure that my heart's affection is for the things of God, because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that we value the most, that's where our heart is. And again, a lot of people, they value their jobs, they value their careers, they value even family above God. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, and he said, lay up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust and thieves can't get to it. All right, so again, we need to guard ourselves, and we need to remember, again, who we are in Christ. In John chapter 1, look at verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You and I, and everyone else who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, not adding Jesus to what we believe, but putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone and what he did, we are the children of God. Not everybody's a child of God. I've heard people say everybody's a child of God. No, everybody's not a child of God. A child of God is someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's taken up residence in their life. Their life has been changed by the power of God. God's given us the power to become the sons of God. Very important, because if you remember who you are, what family you belong to, you should be reminded that you have victory in this life. You have victory in this life. Go back, if you would, and look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. We need to have confidence in God. Keep your confidence in God. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has all power. He still thinks highly of you, because you are a child of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you and I, we have confidence in our salvation. We have confidence because our salvation was bought by Jesus Christ. He paid the price, and we are trusting him for our salvation. We have confidence in God because of the gift of salvation that he's given us, as it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot boast of the salvation I've gained. I can't even boast of the victories I've had in my life. Now, when I was a younger boy, and I played soccer, and I loved playing soccer, and played soccer for several seasons. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed running the field, kicking the ball. But the most thing I enjoyed the most was when I had the opportunity to kick the ball into the net and score a point for the team. I mean, I just enjoyed that. It was like, I did that. I mean, just there's different games in my mind that I remember that I'll never forget, that I just thought, man, I'm the greatest soccer player ever. I'm the best. I'm better than, I don't know if you know these people, Pele and all these great soccer players. I'm just better than them, I thought in my mind. But think, our confidence in God is confidence in the one who never fails and always does everything right. Because there were plenty of goals I didn't score. Plenty of times I got taken out and tackled and got hurt. But God never fails. God never gets taken out. There's things in this life that we don't need to put our confidence in. Our confidence needs to remain in the one who's faithful, the one who has given us eternal life. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We can have confidence in God because he's overcome the world for us. Remember, Jesus lived a life just like we're living. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He suffered hunger. He suffered fatigue. He suffered rejection. But yet, he overcame the world, and we have victory through Jesus Christ. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Allow your confidence in God to strengthen. Allow your confidence in God to strengthen. He's given you the gift of salvation. He's given you and me the victory over this world because he overcame the world. Again, I mean, just think about that. Our Lord and Savior, he took on flesh. He allowed himself to be born the way we're born. He allowed himself to experience being in the womb of a mother, the Son of God. He allowed himself to experience being a child, having to be taken care of. He allowed himself to experience being a teenager. He allowed himself the experience of life so that he could get the victory for us and we can rely upon him and have the confidence, you know what? He knows what I'm feeling. He knows what I'm going through. He understands my life. And I have the confidence that he will help me through this life and he'll help me to stand in the last days when it seems like all the world is against Christianity, when all the world is against God's people. He will help me to be able to stand in the last days because I have victory through Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it is Christ in us. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul was very confident in his relationship with the Lord, and he was confident in the ministry that God gave him. We all have a ministry God wants us to do. It may not be a church ministry. Ministry is simply ministering to people. And everywhere Paul went, he ministered to people. Not everybody received him joyfully. Not everybody was excited at what Paul said or did. But Paul had the confidence in God because it was Jesus Christ in him that helped him to live the life that he was given. I want you to listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. We are instructed to be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You and I can have confidence in God because we know he walks with us every day. We know that he's with us. We know that he'll never fail us. He'll never forsake us. And we can be strong and of a good courage because God is on our side because he is our Heavenly Father. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember, you are a child of God, and you can have confidence in God because you are a child of God. But also, something that's going to help us to be reminded that we can expect victories and have victories in our life is when we are convicted about God. When we're convicted, not everybody's convicted about God. Again, you probably have had people say it. I've had people say it, even in my workplace. Yeah, I know there's a big guy upstairs. I just don't believe in organized religion. I know there's a God. But do you know him? That's the difference. It's not enough just to know, yeah, I know there's a creator, but do you know him in your heart? Do you know him as your Father? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can say, Abba, Father. We can go to him boldly, and we can spend time in his presence. But having convictions about God, because if we don't have convictions about who God is, we won't remain faithful to him. Before I read these verses in John, I want you to think about in John chapter 6 and verse 66, talks about many disciples that were following Jesus, not the 12, But many other disciples, many that followed, many that listened to his teachings, many that were fed by the fish and the bread, many whose infirmities were healed. In John 6:66, they end up leaving Jesus because they couldn't understand the hard saying of drinking his blood, eating his flesh, and he was testing them. He knew who was his own and who were not. He knew who were only there to be fed. But there were those that were not convicted in their hearts about who Jesus was. They just liked the fact that, hey, he's got the power to heal. He's got the power to feed. He's got the power to do this. But it's more than just knowing he has the power to do anything, because he has all power. But it's being convicted in our hearts that he is my God. He is my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my prayer partner, because I know he prays for me. The Bible says he's our advocate. He prays on our behalf for us. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Are you convicted that Jesus is God? Or like some people, he was a good man, he was a good teacher, or he's another God? The Bible clearly says that Jesus is God. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 of John 1, "And the Word was made flesh." Speaking about Jesus, Jesus took on flesh. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." As John writes this, and he writes, "And we beheld his glory," remember, Peter, James, and John went up, on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus transformed into his glory, meeting there with Moses and Isaiah, and they're there on the mountain. And remember, Peter says, "Lord, shall we build three tabernacles?" I mean, it's just like, man, this is amazing. I mean, they see Jesus in all his glory. So John, he's convinced Jesus is the Son of God. He's convinced that he is God in the flesh. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus even says of himself, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, as Jesus speaks, as Jesus speaks about salvation, no one comes to God unless they go through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way of salvation. He's the one door. He is the truth. He is the giver of life. If we believe that, are we convicted in our hearts that Jesus cannot fail in our life? That I can have victory in my life. Again, we all face different things in our life. Right now, every one of us are facing something in our life no one knows about. Because that's the way life is. There's always something we're facing. Now, there will be days where, it's a good day, a good week. Again, there's things that we face, and we have an adversary who wants to sit there and throw his fiery darts at us, like the Bible talks about in Ephesians, to try to tear down our faith, to try to weaken us, to try to get us to a point where we don't believe that God can. Well, I know that God can do it for that person because they seem so super spiritual. They seem like someone who reads their Bible 24 hours a day. I mean, if I was them, then I'd have some victory. That's not the way God works. God has allowed you and I to have the lives we have so that he gets the glory and he can give us the victory. I don't care what your life is or who's in your life or how your life is going. What I do care about is you fully trusting Jesus Christ to give you the victory. Listen, how can two people stay married for 50 years? By the grace of God. It's by God helping you. Because listen, you have two different people together. I understand there are marriages where, I feel bad for the spouse that's not being loved and not being taken care of. But I can also say to the spouse, There is someone in heaven who will never mistreat you. There is someone in heaven who loves you more than anybody on this earth. And you and I have to remain confident in our God, that he continues to give us victory and we can live a victorious life through Christ. I want you to think about, go back if you would very quickly to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 5. So just remember who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. God doesn't love you any less. God has not forsaken you, though sometimes it may seem like it. But remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. I know God hasn't forsaken me. I don't know why God wants to lead me through the trials of life that he does, but I have to trust him. I have to remain confident that he hasn't brought me this far to leave me. And I am convicted in my heart that God is truly the only living God that has all power, has all the answers, and he can truly change the heart of any person. In verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you feel like you don't have victory in your life, if you feel like God's not answering your prayers, if you feel like God's not giving you any direction in your life, it may be that it's your fault because you've stopped having faith that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, because he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doesn't necessarily mean the problem is going to poof, disappear and change. But what it means is our hearts are drawn to him. What it means is, you know what? I still have faith that my God knows what he's doing, that my God will give me the grace that I need in this time in my life. Our victory comes through believing that Jesus Christ gives us the victory because we are the children of God. Again, he says, who is he that overcometh the world? All right? We still live in a world that's full of conflict. Not just around the world, but in our own life, there's conflict. I'd rather the conflict be somewhere else and not in my life. But you know what? Because I do have conflict in my life, I can see God working through the conflict. I can see God helping me. Doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have my moments of despair where I'm like, Lord, why me? Right? Remember those commercials, Calgon, take me away? You know, the bubble bath. You know, it just seems like, you know, everything melts away with bubble bath. But it doesn't. Everything melts away with Jesus Christ. Again, he says, who is he that overcometh the world? There's still conflict in the world. There's still conflict in our lives. So, Pastor, how can I have victorious living through Jesus Christ? Again, like the title says of the message, it's through Jesus Christ. Remembering who you are in Christ, remembering who has all power, remembering the one that says, take up your cross and follow me. The one that says, follow me. And it's daily a choice. It's daily a choice of taking up our cross and following the Lord, knowing that he's leading us down the right path and he will help us through the things that we face. But more importantly, in the last days, in the days where your faith is going to be tried and tested more and more and more. And I say the last days because we are in the last days. We don't know when Christ is coming. We're looking forward to it. And Jesus also said, you know, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. I mean, it's just going to get difficult. Look, when you think about your own life,
every day following Jesus helps to remind us we're on the right path. We're following the author and finisher of our faith. He will give us victory. I can expect victory, not necessarily when I want it, but I can expect victory because Jesus gives us victory, because he overcame the world, and because he overcame the world, we overcome the world by our faith. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 6 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord. God doesn't reveal everything to us because he wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to follow him by faith. He wants us to have confidence in him. But in Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says that God has not revealed everything to us. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things he's revealed to us belong unto us and our children. The promises, but also the warnings. God never said that life would be easy. He never said we'd be fought against, that we would not be fought against. In fact, in Ephesians 6, God reveals that, you know what? Life is going to have some spiritual battles. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What a wonderful thought. You know what? We can be strong in God. Because God never fails. God has all power. Even though our adversary wants to dethrone God, yet he knows he cannot. He knows that God is supreme, all right? But what the devil wants to do is dethrone God in the hearts of God's people. And he does that by getting into their minds, if we allow him, to cause us to think lies, to cause us to think there is no hope, to cause us to think, well, you know what, I've got a home in heaven, so you know what's the point of even fighting and trying? But God wants us to fight. God even tells us in his word, strive. Strive. All right? But God tells us here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How am I going to have victory in my life? How am I going to live victoriously through Jesus Christ? Well, it starts with being strong in the Lord, knowing, reminding yourself, you know what? I can't live this life without Christ. I cannot get victory without the power of God upon my life. That's why Paul said, I'd rather have the power of God upon my life. He said, I'll glory in my infirmities. The bad things that happen, it just lets me know that the grace of God is sufficient for me and the power of God upon my life will help me. He goes on in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil does not want you to believe that there's a spiritual battle. He wants you and me and every other Christian to believe that, well, you know, it's that person, it's that, you know, if I get rid of that person, then I'll be okay. If I quit this job, I'll be okay. If I divorce this person, I'll be okay. If I defriend this person on Facebook, I'll be okay. No. There's a spiritual battle. The devil uses people and uses things to fight against us. And God wants us to put on the whole armor of God. Because listen, the devil is not happy with you just walking away from church. He's not happy with you just not reading your Bible. He's not happy with you just not praying. Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal you away from the Lord. He wants you to believe that, you know what, you don't have a relationship with Christ because you've messed up. He wants to steal you, kill you. And young people need to understand that, and older people need to remember that you know what, we still have an adversary that wants to destroy our lives, and the only way he can do it, because he cannot take your salvation, he cannot steal your salvation, that's a gift of God. You're in the palm of the Father's hand, you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, but again, he wants to steal your affection away. He wants to cause you to be full of doubt, that you stop believing the promises of God's word. You stop believing that you have victory in Christ. He wants you to believe that, you know what, all hope is lost. Remember, that's why we have to look unto Jesus Christ. We have to look for the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. Again, there's a spiritual conflict that we've got to be aware of, and we have to understand God wants us to fight against it in his armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The only thing that is absolute truth is God's word. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't lay down your faith. It's the only thing that quenches the fiery darts of the devil, your faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in the Word of God, your faith in prayer, your faith in who God is and who you are in Christ. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God wants us to understand, yes, there's conflict in the world. There's a spiritual conflict. There's a spiritual battle that we're in, but we have victory because of Jesus Christ. But he still wants us to put on the whole armor of God. He still wants us to protect our minds and protect our heart and our loins to be girt about with truth. Be led by the truth of God's word. Keep the shield of faith up. No matter how hard the devil fights against it, continue to believe and be convicted in your heart that you are on the winning side. Jesus Christ has given you victory. He said so. And if you can't believe Jesus Christ, who can you believe? If we can't believe the word of God, who can we believe? We can have victory, and victory is to be expected because of who we are in Christ, but we do have to be reminded that we are in a spiritual battle. And we're told in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Again, we live in a world that wants to draw us away from the comfort and protection of God. Now, the older people in here, you know, I mean, you've been around for a while. We've been around, and we understand, you know what, there are things in this world that, you know, are not worth getting involved in. But we also have the wisdom that the young people don't understand. Because I can remember being a young person, a teenager in my 20s, thinking I've got the whole world in the palm of my hands. Not realizing the world was chewing me up and spitting me out. The prodigal son. Right? The prodigal son who went and wasted his inheritance. He was chewed up by the world. He was spit out, left for dead. Listen, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because again, this world is not our home. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And God's will is for us to live victoriously through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean everything in our life is going to change. It doesn't mean that there won't be any more trials, but the focus is to be Jesus Christ. Our heart needs to be in heaven. The things of God is what we need to value more, because it's God who's going to help us to stand in the last days. It's God that's going to give us the grace to go through the trials that we face. It's God who's going to help us to even know what his perfect will is for our life, because that's Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12 real quick, almost done. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Again, that's where we say, Lord, I belong to you. You bought me. You shed your blood for me. My life is not my own. My life belongs to you. Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? He says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you and I going to know the will of God for our life? By seeking God. Not thinking that God works for us, but we serve Him. How am I going to know God's will for my life? I've got to seek Him. I've got to be in the Word of God, because He's not going to lead me astray. What is it that God wants from me? What is it that God wants to do in my life? How can I truly see victory in my life? Maybe you haven't seen any victories in your life in a while. I don't know. But I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that we can have victory because it's Jesus Christ that gives us the victory. But we are in a battle zone. No, I didn't choose to be in this battle zone. I was put into it when I asked Jesus into my life, because it put a bullseye on my back. Because it's a spiritual battle. And you and I have to remind ourselves, you know what? I do have victory through Jesus Christ. I don't have to live in defeat. The devil wants people to think they're defeated. The devil doesn't want people to know the truth. He's defeated. The devil was defeated at Calvary. He has no more chains. All the chains were broken. Every sin debt was paid for every single person. But everybody has to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, we have to continue following the Lord, continue believing we have victory through Jesus Christ, who has given us the victory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're walking in the flesh, if we're living our life the way that the world says so, the way that we think so, we're not going to see victory. But if we walk in the Spirit, as we're told in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because when we walk in the Spirit, when we walk by the Holy Spirit, and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead our life, the Holy Spirit will lead us according to God's will. And we will see victories in our life, and we will be able to rejoice in 1 Corinthians 15:57 that says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we can live a victorious life regardless of what goes on in this world, regardless of the spiritual battles we face, because Jesus gives us the victory. The defeat comes when we stop believing that Jesus has all power. When we stop following by faith, then the defeat comes. Again, we can't control what happens in our life as far as the trials that come in our life, but we can control how we react to life. And how we should respond and react to life is by faith. Again, continuing to walk by faith, continuing to look to our Savior by faith, continuing to trust that He has the perfect will for my life, and I want to follow it. And I want Him to be glorified and magnified in our life. Again, I don't want to fall away. The Bible talks about the great falling away. Many people have walked away from the Lord. And I believe, at the same time, it's God purging the church. It's God showing who truly is a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not that, you know, we won't fail at times. But again, when the Holy Spirit reminds us, look back unto the Savior, are we looking back to Christ? Or are we rejecting Christ and continue to walk in our own way? That's the difference between a true believer and a non-believer. One that truly understands, you know what? I've messed up, but I know that Jesus Christ gives me the victory, and we repent and we turn back to him. Don't allow the world to push you away from the only one that gives you victory.